In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What does it mean to be blessed? The world defines blessing according to earthly terms which are primarily based upon subjective feelings. And so it is that the world looks down upon the church and her saints. To be blessed in earthly terms is to be happy or content with your life, being supported and surrounded by family and friends, having a fulfilling job that pays well, having a big house filled with the latest and greatest gadgets, having money in the bank, and of course, being healthy. This is the exact opposite situation of so many of the church's saints who were poor and isolated and lacking by worldly standards. Still, it should not surprise us that the world defines blessing in terms such as these, for worldly people cannot help but think in worldly terms. Christians, however, are those who have been called out of the world. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Thus, our Lord Jesus Christ preaches the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with the Beatitudes of our Gospel text for this day, to teach us Christians how to think rightly about the blessed life. For blessing ought not be defined as a happy life. The blessed life, rather, is the one which looks to Christ for all good things. And so our Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and so on. These are not qualities of one whom the world would find blessed. But they are qualities of one whom the Lord finds blessed. The one who is poor in spirit, the one who mourns, the meek, the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemaker, the one who is persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is the one whom the world would count as poor and miserable, yet this is the one whom the Lord counts as blessed. Why is this? Does the Lord delight in our misery? Does the Lord desire that we be deprived of all that this world counts as significant? Are the things of this world deplorable in his sight, and therefore he despises those who possess worldly things? While we might be tempted to come to such conclusions, to say these things is to speak out of turn. This world is filled with sin, and it is not our home. This is true. But the Lord does not delight in our misery. He does not call the one who mourns blessed because mourning is greater than joy, nor is hungering and thirsting for righteousness greater than being filled with righteousness. We would be mistaken to believe that the defining factor of what makes a person blessed is the first clause in each beatitude. In other words, a person is not blessed merely because they are poor in spirit or because they mourn or because they are meek. No, the one who is blessed is the one who is defined by the second clause of each beatitude, which is to say, you are blessed when yours is the kingdom of heaven. You are blessed when you are comforted, when you inherit the earth, and when you are filled. You are blessed when you obtain mercy, when you see God, and when you are called sons of God. You are blessed when your reward is great in heaven. For the Lord does not delight in our misery. Rather, he delights in giving us the fullness of his grace and forgiveness. In short, he delights in giving us the kingdom of heaven. For this world is corrupted and filled with sin. In this world, even the best of the best and the purest of joys are tainted with evil. In this world, true goodness and mercy and love, which is to say, true blessing, can only come from God. For humanity has filled God's world with sin. No technological advancement, no strength of will, and no human alliance can reverse this and bring about true blessing. We are hopeless and helpless on our own. True blessing can only come extra nos, the Latin term meaning from the outside. True blessing only comes from the giver of all good things. So it is that the one who is given the kingdom of heaven, the one who obtains the Lord's mercy, the one who is called a son of God, is truly blessed. But there is another trap into which we might fall in our thinking. So we must be clear that such heavenly blessing does not come by virtue of our own efforts, which is to say, not all who are poor in spirit will automatically inherit the kingdom of heaven. Not all who mourn will be comforted. Not all who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. However, it is also true that one cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven without being poor in spirit. For the gift of eternal life comes only to sinners who acknowledge their spiritual poverty and throw themselves upon the grace of Christ. One cannot be comforted without mourning, for the evils of sin must be acknowledged as such. We must mourn over sin and repent so as to receive the comfort of the gospel. One cannot inherit the earth without being meek. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. One cannot be filled without hungering and thirsting for righteousness. For when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all things will be ours eternally. One cannot obtain mercy without being merciful, as the parable of the unforgiving servant taught us last Sunday. One cannot see God without being pure in heart, for no one can look upon him and live. But when the eyes of our hearts are enlightened, we are able to see the Lord as he is both now and eternally. One cannot be called a son of God without being a peacemaker, for it is the peace of Christ which is given to us that makes us God's child, as we see with the disciples in the upper room on Easter evening. One cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven without persecution, for our Lord has said, a servant is not greater than his master, and if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So it is that the blessed life cannot be achieved by human effort or will. It must be given to us by Christ alone. Likewise, it is also true that the blessed life is the life of Christ. He became poor in spirit for us, setting aside his majesty and taking the form of a servant. He mourned over human sin and evil, allowing it to overcome him. He was the meek, suffering servant who opened not his mouth. He hungered and thirsted for righteousness upon the cross, desiring to drink the cup that his Father gave him. He extended the mercy of God to us by virtue of his death and resurrection. He is the only man to walk this earth as one who was truly pure in heart. And he is the true peacemaker, for he himself is our peace. He was persecuted for righteousness' sake at the hands of the Jews, so that we might be given the blessing of life eternal. It is Christ's life, death, and resurrection which brings about true blessing for mankind. This is the truth that we must join the saints in understanding. For if the blessed life cannot be achieved by human effort or will, then it is also true that one does not become a saint by human effort or will. For the blessed life and the life of a saint are inseparable. Thus we sang a few minutes ago the second stanza of William Howe's beloved hymn for all the saints, which reads thus: Thou wast their rock, their fortress, and their might. Thou, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. Thou, in the darkness drear, their one true light. Alleluia, alleluia. For Christ alone is the strength of his people. He is our rock and our fortress and our light. He preserves and keeps his people. He makes sinners into saints, as he did with the beloved saints of the church, St. Lawrence, St. Athanasius, St. Augustine, and so many more. Likewise, it is Christ who makes sinners saints, as he did for your loved ones who have died in the faith. And it is Christ who makes sinners saints, as he does for you who love him. For the blessed life is not achieved by human effort or will. It is a free gift of Christ's grace given to his saints. So it is that when the Lord speaks of the blessed life in the Beatitudes, he is speaking of nothing less than salvation. This explains the seeming paradox of many of the statements. One who is poor in spirit is blessed because eternal salvation in the kingdom of heaven is there. One who mourns is blessed because the promise of eternal comfort is theirs. This is the hope that Christ gives to his saints on earth. Though life be filled with struggle and pain and suffering, the blessing of eternal salvation is yours. So be encouraged in your fight. The saints who have gone before us have paved the way. They stand in the cloud of witnesses, encouraging us to fight the fight and keep the faith. Until we join them in singing eternal praise to the Lord in his glorious presence, we allow the promise of that eternal day to give us strength to fight the good fight until we finish the race and receive the crown of righteousness. And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, seals on the ear the distant triumph song. And hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. Alleluia, alleluia. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.